Welcome, curious minds, to the deep dive. Today, we're plunging into a realm that's utterly fascinating and, frankly, often kind of perplexing. We're talking about phenomena that challenge our everyday understanding of reality. We typically rely on our five senses, you know, to navigate the world, but what if knowledge has wider gateways, wider thresholds? What if, beyond just vision, humans have another way of seeing?
That's a great way to put it, actually, because we're diving into what's broadly termed anomalous phenomena, or AP. Sometimes you hear UAP, unidentified anomalous phenomena, or even CI. And these aren't just weird little things. Our sources describe them as events that seem to bypass our usual ways of perceiving things, physical laws, how matter interacts.
Right.
And in some cases, they might even seem to violate really fundamental ideas about space-time causality. A key thing, though, is that a lot of these phenomena seem to be deeply connected with human consciousness, the mind itself.
It's a massive topic. And for this deep dive, we've pulled together a real mix of sources. We've got academic work looking at the limits of science, social psychology stuff on belief, detailed investigations into UAP sightings, and some really, really compelling personal stories, too. So our mission today is to unpack all that, pull out the key insights, help you get a handle on what these phenomena might be and why they keep fascinating us, you know, despite or maybe because of the scientific challenges. Okay, let's dive in. Let's unpack this. Okay, let's go back a bit. Late 19th century, this was a time when spiritualism was huge. People really believed spirits could talk to the living, seances, mediums, all that. Sounds pretty mystical, but as our sources point out, it was also absolutely packed with fraud, people faking it.
Exactly. And that mixed this huge public interest, but also all the scams. That's what led to the founding of the Society for Psychical Research, the SPR, back in 1882. You had some really big thinkers involved. And they weren't just trying to debunk the frauds. They wanted to apply rigorous scientific methods to these, quote, supernatural phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this deeper thing going on, too, a kind of anxiety about the nature and destiny of the human soul in a world that was getting more secular, more materialistic. They kind of hoped, maybe a bit ironically, that they could use science itself to prove there were things, you know, beyond the worldview of the natural sciences.
So the first big takeaway from the sources here is, well, it's pretty stark. After more than a century, the standard scientific approach, it largely failed to pin down these phenomena. One source says Professor Sidgwick, a key SPR guy, he didn't live to see his hopes confirmed. Neither did his colleagues or anyone who came after, really. That's quite a statement.
It really is. And Ray Hyman, who studied the history of this research, he put it very bluntly. He said that basically 130 years of investigation hadn't produced any consistent evidence for paranormality that could actually hold up under proper scientific scrutiny. So that lack of solid, repeatable proof leads to a really important question. If these phenomena do exist, like many people feel they do, why has science failed so consistently to confirm them?
Right. So if the stories persist, the experiences persist, but the scientific method keeps coming up empty, it makes you wonder, is the problem maybe not with the phenomena themselves, but with the tool?
With the scientific method itself, when applied here.
Well, that's exactly the core argument in one of our main sources. It basically suggests that trying to use the scientific method for anomalous phenomena was maybe ill-advised right from the get-go. And this isn't bashing science. Science is incredibly powerful, obviously. It's more about looking at its built-in limits when you try to apply it to these really elusive kinds of experiences. And some of those limits seem pretty major, like take controls and repeatability. That's fundamental to science, right?
Yeah.
Strict controls, getting the same result over and over. But physicist Victor Stenger said the failure of psychic phenomena to replicate in the lab is the strongest argument against them existing. But what if that demand for perfect replication is the actual problem here? Our sources raised this really interesting point from Louisa Ryan. She said, look, a person is a different person from one day to the next. And the whole environment, the celestial and terrestrial landscape, it's different too. So maybe exact replication is just physically impossible for these things. How does science deal with that?
It's a huge challenge, yeah. And then you layer on the observer effect. Werner Heisenberg put it beautifully. The observer decides how he is going to set up the measurement. And this arrangement will determine, to some extent, the properties of the observed object. So the person doing the experiment, the way they set it up, it influences the outcome. That subjective element makes purely objective measurement of these phenomena incredibly tricky, maybe impossible to fully eliminate without, you know, changing the very thing you're trying to study.
But it goes even deeper, doesn't it? It's not just the experimental setup. Our sources talk about science operating with these sort of unspoken limiting principles, basic assumptions about how the world works, like cause always comes before effect, right?
Yeah.
Or that your mind can only directly affect your own brain.
Exactly. Dr. C.B. Broad pointed these out. Things like, yeah, no effects happening before their cause, and this idea of a continuous chain of cause and effect.
Yeah.
And the big problem, anomalous phenomena often seem to just break those rules. They don't fit neatly into that scientific box.
Yeah, they violate the assumptions.
Which brings us to what Thomas Kuhn called the paradigm effect. And what's fascinating here is how the very framework we use to understand reality can actually blind us to things that don't fit inside it. Think about Galileo suggesting the Earth went around the sun. It totally rocked the existing worldview. And initially, it was ignored, ridiculed, even suppressed. The scientific community, like any group of humans, can sometimes be unwilling to embrace the unorthodox or unusual, especially when it shakes the very foundations.
Okay, so putting it all together, it sounds like the tools and the mindset of science, while amazing for so many things, maybe have specific zones where they really excel and other areas where they just inherently struggle. Like one source says, it's recognizing that the intellect has its limitations and we can't always grasp reality just through our normal thinking processes. It's not necessarily a failure of science, maybe just a boundary of where it works best right now. So if the scientific method has these inherent difficulties here, how do we even begin to think about the really compelling personal stories, the experiences people keep reporting that often feel so real, sometimes deeply unsettling? If the method's a tricky fit, let's look at the experiences themselves.
Right. When we talk about anomalous phenomena, AP, we mean events that seem to defy known physics or biology, often involve consciousness somehow, and bypass our normal senses. Our sources generally group them into two main buckets. First, there's extrasensory perception, ESP. That's getting information not through your regular senses. Subtypes include telepathy, knowing someone else's thoughts, clairvoyance, knowing about an event or object without being told or seeing it, and precognition, knowing future stuff, thoughts, or events. The second big category is psychokinesis, PK. That's influencing objects or events without any known physical means. Think maybe alleged medical miracles. Things like that. Early research, you know, tried testing these in labs, guessing cards, things like that. But like we said, they hit those big walls of getting consistent results.
Yeah, the replication problem again. But the sources, wow, they have some vivid examples that really stick with you, even if they're hard to prove scientifically. For precognition, there's that story of the 17-year-old student in England. For just some nameless reason, she couldn't make herself get on her usual bus one morning. That exact bus later had brake failure, crashed, killed a lot of people. Chilling. Or the Dallas woman in 49 who just knew her husband's plane would crash, begged him not to go. It did crash. Everyone died. And for telepathy or clairvoyance, Joseph Chilton Pierce's story, passing out vividly, seeing his girlfriend hundreds of miles away, writing a breakup letter, which then arrived by mail days later, apparently word for word. And then you get these anecdotes from places like Reddit in our sources. Kathy Hobbs, convinced she'd die before 16, and she was murdered months after her birthday. Or others just feeling they wouldn't live long.
Those stories are incredibly powerful, no doubt. And for the people involved, they must be profoundly real and disturbing. But it's also crucial, as our sources do, to bring in the scientific counterarguments. Many of these are what researchers call impression cases. They feel significant, but our own minds can play tricks. Confirmation bias is huge here. Like one Reddit user pointed out, their grandfather was healthy but convinced he'd die soon for years, and he just turned 87. We only really remember the times the feeling matches the outcome.
Right. You forget all the times you had a weird feeling and nothing happened.
Exactly. You remember the hits, not the misses. So it makes those few instances seem much more significant than they might statistically be.
Okay, let's broaden out a bit from just personal psychic stuff. Let's talk about things often lumped into the paranormal. Ghosts, for instance. A pretty big chunk of people, something like 41% in one poll, believe in ghosts. And maybe 20% say they've actually had an experience.
Yeah, it really shows how powerful these experiences and perceptions can be for people. But a social psychologist and our sources offer some pretty compelling alternative ways to think about ghost sightings. They point out basic physical problems. Ghosts are usually described as not aging, eating, breathing. Yet they can glow, move things, make noise, they act like matter. But then they walk through walls or disappear, acting not like matter. That just doesn't square with, you know, centuries of physics.
Right, it's contradictory.
And the source had that great example, the retail shop people thought was haunted. It shows how easily ghostly evidence can often be explained away. Like orbs in photos, just dust near the lens, an optical trick, weird voices and bumps, probably noise from outside the busy mall. things flying off shelves, maybe just a loose bracket finally settling, and the flying book, easily faked with a bit of string. It's striking how many common ghostly things have simple, logical explanations. But what about those other cases, like the UAP sightings we're going to talk about, where you have trained pilots, radar confirmation, things that seem genuinely unidentifiable? Are those still just our minds playing tricks or biases?
That's a really important distinction to make. Yes, the shop example shows perfectly how things like bad lighting, being emotionally worked up, even weird sleep stuff like sleep paralysis, plus social factors, culture, what you already believe, all that can create very convincing, very real feeling experiences. And often, those experiences can be explained without needing ghosts. But then there's this other category of phenomena that doesn't fit so neatly. Which brings us neatly to UAP, unidentified anomalous phenomena. It used to be UFOs, right? Our sources say, yeah, maybe 95% of sightings get explained away as normal stuff. But how stuff works puts it well. The remaining 5% make governors, pilots, military officials, and other sane, incredible people rub their eyes and scratch their heads in disbelief. Those are the ones that are hard to just dismiss.
Absolutely. And our source highlights some really compelling cases considered highly credible, like the Belgian UFO wave back in 89-90. Thousands of witnesses saw these triangular objects. They were tracked on radar. F-16s were scrambled to intercept. One object reportedly went from 150 miles an hour to 1,100 miles an hour and dropped from 9,000 to 5,000 feet in just seconds. Major General Wilfried de Brouwer from the Belgian Air Force basically said they had no idea what these things were, where they came from, or what they were doing.
Wow. Okay.
Then there's the Phoenix Lights in 1997. This enormous V-shaped craft with five big lights just silently floating across Arizona blocking out the stars. Thousands saw it. The governor at the time, Fife Symington, later admitted he saw it too and said it didn't look like anything man-made he'd ever seen. And more recently, the Alderney UFO sighting in 2007. A pilot, Ray Boyer, with passengers, saw these huge yellow cigar-shaped objects. Radar confirmed them for almost an hour. Another pilot saw them too. It's still listed as a complete mystery.
These aren't just one person seeing something odd. It's multiple credible people, sometimes with radar data backing it up. So what does this mean for how official groups like NASA are starting to look at this now?
Yeah, NASA getting involved is a pretty big deal. In 2022, they set up an independent study team just for UAP. Their goal is clear: create a proper, rigorous, evidence-based, data-driven scientific framework to try and understand that small percentage of sightings that really are unidentified. NASA's planning to use everything they've got, Earth-observing satellites to check environmental conditions, AI and machine learning to crunch data, even their system for pilots to report safety issues, the ASRS, to collect high-quality reports, and importantly, reduce the stigma around pilots reporting weird stuff. It's a serious scientific effort focused on the truly unexplained bits.
But it's also really important to note, even with all this tech and serious attention, NASA is still being very, very scientifically cautious. Their report stresses that thinking it's extraterrestrial life, that has to be the hypothesis of last resort, the very last thing you consider after ruling out everything else. It really underlines that careful, step-by-step approach science takes, even when it's facing genuinely baffling stuff.
So this all leads to a really interesting question, doesn't it? Why do these stories, both the ones we can maybe explain away and the ones that are genuinely puzzling, why do they stick around so strongly? Why are we so drawn to them, even when science is skeptical or just doesn't have definitive answers yet? A lot of it seems to come down to us, to human psychology, how we engage with things we don't understand.
Yeah, philosophers have talked about an ethics of belief, the idea that what we believe should really be based on solid evidence. People like Clifford, Locke, Hume. But let's be honest, as our sources say, humans are not uniformly capable of such untainted rationality. It's hard to be purely rational all the time, right?
It really is. And that's where cognitive biases come, and these mental shortcuts or patterns that can really shape how we see things, especially ambiguous things. Two big ones come up in our sources regarding anomalous phenomena. First is belief in flexibility or dogmatism. That's like an unyielding certainty in what you believe, refusing to consider alternatives, hating ambiguity. It means you might just ignore evidence that doesn't fit what you already think. And closely related is confirmation bias. That's our tendency to look for, interpret, and remember information in a way that confirms what we already believe. We basically cherry-pick the evidence that supports our view.
You can totally see how that plays out. Like that damned hammer story from one source, a hammer supposedly found inside super ancient rock. There's a perfectly reasonable scientific explanation, right? A miner's hammer probably fell into what's called a petrifying well, got encased pretty quickly. But the desire for it to be something more mysterious, you know, ancient astronauts or whatever, that desire can be really strong. It's just a more exciting story than a lost hammer.
Exactly. And the NASA report itself kind of touches on this, saying science is about revealing reality, not sculpting it to fit what we want, even if that reality is unsatisfying or confusing.
Mm.
But at the same time, it's also true, as another source puts it, that the roster of the unknown in human experience is immeasurable. There's just so much we don't know. So while science pushes for objective truth, our own biases mean our perception of that truth often gets filtered through our hopes, fears, and existing beliefs.
So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, it feels like we've covered a lot of ground. From deeply personal experiences that seem to defy the senses, to the history of science trying and often struggling to categorize these things, and then looking at how our own minds, our beliefs, our biases play such a huge role in what we perceive and accept as real. It's definitely complex.
It is. And I think a key takeaway is that while science gives us these incredibly powerful tools for understanding the world, there really do seem to be, as one source says, limits on what is possible to know.
Yeah.
I know. The reality we're faced with sometimes just surpasses the strict limits of science.
Mm.
And that's not necessarily a failure. It's maybe just acknowledging the sheer scale of the unknown and maybe the inherent limits of our human viewpoint and the methods we have available right now.
So that leaves us with a final thought to chew on. Given these limits, the limits of our senses, the limits of our scientific methods, and the huge influence of our own beliefs and biases, what does proof really even mean when we're exploring these edges of the known? And what responsibility do we have as curious people trying to learn in our own personal quest for understanding? Something to think about.